Hi.
Thank you for our friends and visitors who came here for the first time. Before we listen to the word of God, let us bow our head and pray. Dear Lord, please speak to all of us today so that we may know how to be more like you and so that we may know how to love other people more like you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So let us open our Bible to Numbers 33. Numbers 33. I know it's not a typical Bible reading for a sermon, but Numbers 33. I know most of you have the New International Version, but I'm going to read from the King James Version. In the beginning, it's after Leviticus. So Genesis, the fifth book, yes. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the fourth book, yes. No, the book is called Numbers 33. Numbers 33. Okay, I'm going to read starting from verse 1. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with the armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. And Moses wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the commandment of the Lord, and these are their journeys according to their goings out. And they departed from Ramesses in the first month, on the 15th month of the day of the first month. On the morrow after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with an high hand in the sight of all Egyptians. For the Egyptians buried all their firstborn, which the Lord had smitten among them. Upon their gods also the Lord executed judgments. Verse 5, and the children of Israel removed from Ramesses and pitched in Sukkot. And they departed from Sukkot and pitched in Etham, which is in the edge of the wilderness. Sorry. Okay. Verse 7. And they removed from Etham and turned again unto Pihahiroth, which is before Baal Zephon, and they pitched before Migdal. And they departed before Pihahiroth and passed through the midst of the sea into the wilderness and went 3 days' journey into the wilderness of Etham and pitched in Marah. And they removed from Marah and came into unto Elam, and in Elam were 12 fountains of water and 70 palm trees, and they pitched there. Verse 10, and they removed from Elam and encamped by the Red Sea. And they removed from the Red Sea and encamped in the wilderness of Sin. And they took their journey out of the wilderness of Sin and encamped in Dophkah. And they departed from Dophkah and encamped in Alush. And they removed from Alush and encamped in Rephidim, where was no water for the people to drink. And they departed from Rephidim and pitched in the wilderness of Sinai. And they removed from the desert of Sinai and pitched at Kibroth Hatavah. And they departed from Kibroth Hatavah and encamped at Hazeroth. And they departed from Hazeroth and pitched in Ritmah. And they departed from Ritmah and pitched at Rimmon Perez. And they departed from Rimmon Perez and pitched in Libna. And they removed from Libna and pitched at Rissa. And they removed from Rissa and pitched at Kihilata. And they went from Kihilata and pitched in Mount Sapner. And they removed from Mount Sapner and encamped in Herda. And they removed from Herda and pitched in Maklot. And they removed from Maklot and encamped in Tanat. And then departed from Tanat and pitched in Tara, and removed from Tara and pitched in Midkah. And they went from Midkah and pitched in Hasmona. And they departed from Hasmona and encamped at Moserot. And then departed from Moserot and pitched in Bene Jaakan. And they removed from Bene Jaakan and encamped at Hor Haggidat. And they went from Hor Haggidat and pitched in Jotbana. And they removed from Jotbana and encamped at Ebrona. And then departed from Ebrona and encamped at Ezion Geber. And they removed from Ezion-Geber and pitched in the wilderness of Zin, which is in Kadesh. And they removed from Kadesh and pitched in Mount Hor in the edge of the land of Edom. And Aaron, the priest, went up into Mount Hor at the commandment of the Lord and died there. In the 40th year after the children of Israel were came out of the land of Egypt, in the first day of the fifth month. And Aaron was 123 years old when he died in the Mount Hor. And king of Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south of the land of Canaan, heard the coming of the children of Israel. And they departed from Mount Hor, and they pitched in Zalmunna. And they departed from Zalmunna and pitched in Punon. And they departed in Punon and pitched in Oboth. And then departed in Oboth and pitched in Ije Jabarim in the border of Moab. And then departed from Lim, Eliam, and pitched in Dibon Gad. Verse 46, and they removed from Dibon Gad and encamped in Almon Diblathaim. And they removed from Almon Diblathaim and pitched in the mountains of Abarim before Nebo. And they departed in the mountains of Abarim and pitched in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. And verse 49, and they pitched by Jordan from Beth Zimo even unto Abelisim in the plains of Moab. It's just a bunch of, you know, they move from here to here to here and to here. And maybe if we're in the, if we follow our daily Bible reading and then we see this chapter, we probably might be thinking, what's the lesson for me? What is this? Is there any use for our for my daily life? But I believe, as in written in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So I believe no matter how obscure it is, a Bible verse or a Bible chapter is, I believe it's still useful for us to be a better person and to be closer to Christ. So, with that in mind, I'm going to tell you a little bit of testimony. Maybe some of you has that already know me that I used to be an accountant. I used to be an accountant, but if I'm not mistaken, in 2013, I gave myself up to God. You know, I repented. I turned my life around. And at that time, I didn't know what to do. You know, what does it mean to be a repentant? What should I do? Do I need to pray or read the Bible every day? Because no one taught me anything. So every day, I just read the Bible and I just prayed without having someone telling me, you know, you should read like this, you should do this. And then I just went to any Bible meeting. If there's a week of prayer there, I go there. If there's a prayer meeting there, I just went there. And then after a year, around 2014, you know, when I was an accountant, I was living a pretty decent life. You know, I have a house, a car, motorbike. My office usually sent me abroad, like every 2 months or 3 months, usually I travel. So I went to almost all the continents in the world, except Australia. I went to Africa, Europe, Asia, of course. And bunch of countries that, you know, I never even thought of. I was having a good life. I was having a nice life. I never worried about anything. But then one day, God, in the Bible camp, there was a calling to be a missionary. I remember the pastor, he was Korean. And he said, if any of you want to work for the Lord, come forward. God is calling you to work at these islands, at these places. He showed some islands on the map. There are lots of people that don't know about Jesus. So I was like, okay, maybe this is my calling. And then I went. I joined an organization called 1000 Missionary. And I remember when my term was up, we have to serve as a missionary for 1 year. And I remember, like, the 11th month, like a month after we were released, I remember in the middle of the jungle, I was sitting and a voice told me, you know what, after this, don't go back to work, go to school, get a divinity degree, become a pastor. At that time, I was like, okay, Lord, I will. But then I went to the city to meet my friend. Now, at that time, he was still an accountant. And he was doing some work in that place when I was a missionary. And he invited me to come to join him in his hotel. So because he was an accountant for an oil company, so they usually stay in the first five-star hotel with all the amenities. And as I was sitting in his room, I was like, you know what? If I become a pastor, I'm not going to have this good life anymore. That's literally what's on my mind. I'm not going to be able to buy this stuff because I don't know. I mean, in my country, pastor is below the medium. Their salary is below the medium salary of the country. So I was thinking, I'm not ready to be poor yet. That's what's on my mind. I'm not ready to be poor, honestly. I still want to have fun. You know, I want to serve the God. I want to serve God, but I don't want to be poor. So then I decided, okay, after the term, after the missionary, I'm still going to work. So then I went back to work. But there's this calling that's in my heart that feels like this is not the place. This is not where you should be. You have to go. You have to depart. So I consult my wife, consult my mom, and then I decided to went back to school. So I got my theology degree, and then I worked as a pastor. But what this has to do with our reading today? We see here the people of Israel, they went out, they departed from their comfort zone to follow God's calling. It says, if we read from verse 1, it says, these are the journeys of the children of Israel. Why? It's because, why did they have this journey? And Moses, verse 2, wrote their goings out according to the journeys by the commandment of the Lord. You know, sometimes in our life, if we really surrender ourselves to God, God will command us to go some places that we don't like to go. I went to some places where I really don't like it. When I was in the jungle, I mean, people say, oh, you live in the jungle, it's probably hard for you. No, I like living in the jungle. I'm happy to have no electricity, nothing, you know. I didn't wash my plates and my, you know, cooking utensils for like a week until someone came, hey, your house is dirty, let me wash it for you. If someone doesn't say that, I'm not going to wash anything. I like living in the jungle. I like living by the ocean. I live in the one of the most beautiful beaches as a missionary also. But I hate being in the city. So when I got back, the pastor assigned me to be a missionary in Jakarta, in the big city. Now it's, you know, like in some places, it's different how you reach people to know about Jesus. But, you know, as the people of Israel, we see right here, they move 1, 2, 3. I think they moved 40 times, right? They went from Hargidat, from Jochebed, from Eberron. They kept moving 40 times for 40 years. Until the 40th year, in verse 50, this is the time they about to enter the land of Canaan. Maybe right now we're in a journey of our life. We don't know where to go. Or maybe we're on our way somewhere. Or right now we're in a place that probably we don't like where we are right now. But just like the people of Israel, I'd like to ask all of us to go to Deuteronomy 29 verse 5. Deuteronomy 29 verse 5. Oh, this is numbers. Deuteronomy 29 verse 5. This is what's amazing about the when the people Israel has their journey. I'm going to read it for you. This is God that's speaking to them. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. So that means he was saying, you know, I've led you 40 years, and your shoes are still fine, and your clothes are still fine. So that means wherever we are right now in our life, if God is with us, God will take care of us. Sometimes we know that by theory, but in practice, we need to really remember, you know, if God can take care of the shoes of the people of Israel and their clothes, you know, if God can take care of the birds and the lilies, and if you're sure that I'm here because of God and I'm here because I prayed about this, even though it's hard, believe that God will take care of us. ABC, ask, believe, and claim. Sometimes the believing is the hardest part. Let's go to Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. Verse 8, yes. And the Lord, he it is that go before you, he will be with you, he will not fail you, neither forsake you. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Fear not. Because sometimes our feeling gets the better of us. Now, if our feeling is against the Bible, which one we need to follow? Our feeling or the Bible? Because I've been working here as a Bible worker for like 1 month. In 1 week, I've heard people say that, you know, I feel like this. That's why I just want to do this. I feel that God wants me. Feel. You know, you can feel that God wants you to do this or that. But if it's not according to the Bible, probably it's just your feeling playing with you. If our feeling is not according to the Bible, don't follow our feeling. Remember God. That's why I like the Psalm 23, verse 1. Anyone remember what's Psalm 23, verse 1? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not fear. Or in other translation, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. I don't want anything. I'm not worried about anything. So if we're really Christian, and if we know God has our back, and we know we are here because of God, we won't worry. I like to use my daughter as an example. You know, she knows that I'm her dad. Has she ever worried about what to eat tomorrow? Has she ever worried about how she's going to school tomorrow? Has she ever worried about what shoes I'm going to wear, what dress I'm going to use tomorrow? Because she knows whatever happened, she has a dad, has a father, has a mom. So that should be with us. The Lord is my shepherd. If we're sure, if we've been in the church for 50, 60, 70 years, and we still worry, that means the Lord is not our shepherd. You see, these people, they believe the Lord is their shepherd. That's why they trust Moses. That's why they trust God. That's why they move from place to place to place to place to place. But one thing is their mistake. They listen to God, but one thing is they complain. They complain a lot. I went visited a pastor where he lives in a tiny island in north of Australia. Tiny, tiny island. And like here, if I wanted to visit people, I use my car or I walk or the bus. But he has to use his boat. And sometimes he said, I just use my underwear on my boat and then put all my clothes in a small plastic bag. So if I move from island to island, I won't wet my clothes. And I asked him, he's there for 7 years already. Pastor, what's your secret? Why do you like it here? My secret is just one. Never complain to anybody, always complain to God. So the people of Israel, all they did was complain. They follow God sometimes, but while complaining. You know, if I ask Elsa to do something and then, okay, I'll do it. But you know what? Blah, 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 blah. Of course we won't like it, right? As a parents. How do you think God will think about us if we do that? Okay, God, you know, I'll help with the food pantry. But you know, sometimes we don't complain, but we just... So that's why if the Lord is our shepherd, we won't have to worry about anything. And that's why, how is this useful also for missionary work? I like to say, you know, each and every one of us is called to be a Bible worker, not just me. If we're a Christian, we're supposed to be missionaries. If we're a Christian, we're supposed to be missionaries. Now, the question is, have we asked God who to reach? Have we asked God where to go? Like the people of Israel, this is God's telling them to go from here to here to here to here to here. And they have justification. Why did you go from Makkalah to Tanat? Oh, because God told us. Why did you go from Tahat to Ter? Oh, because God told us too. What about us? Do we go? Are we sure that in our life that we go because that's where God wants us to go? Are we sure? Or maybe. So, I want, you know, I'd like to ask for all of us, you know, in our middle of our daily life, try to pray, Lord, send me to someone that needs to hear about Jesus. Send me to someone that needs to hear about Jesus. Yes, we have our needs, we have our wants, but sometimes those needs and wants took over our lives, so then we forget to do the mission work. You know, the reason why our church is sometimes empty is not because of the pastor. It's because of us. Us. It's me, you, all of us. You know why I bought Honda? Because my uncle really loves Honda. You know what? Honda is this, Honda is that, Honda is this, Honda. Like the Toyota also. You know, Toyota is this. If we love Jesus, we won't stop talking about it to other people, and people will know, want to know more about Jesus. If we love Sabbath, the Sabbath day, not just because it's the different day, but we feel that it makes a difference in our life, we will tell it to other people, and then people will like to know, huh, what is this about Sabbath? What is this about Saturday instead of Sunday worshiping? So let us use our needs. That's why I would like to ask the church every day at 6 a.m. Let us pray for our church. Bonnie didn't mention this, but I'd like us to set aside 15 minutes. Use your timer and do not get up after 15 minutes. Before 15 minutes. Pray for our church. Pray for the pastor, pray for the elders, pray for the members, pray for the pews. Lord, send someone to sit in that chair, to sit in that pew, to sit in that pew. Lord, send me to help someone today. I prayed that prayer a couple of days ago, and then God sent me to talk with someone around this area. And then when we were talking, and then she told me that, you know what, Zico? I believe in this world, there's a great controversy happening. She said that word, great controversy happening in our life, in our nation. And I was like, you know what? I know a book with a title like that. Oh, really? What kind of book? You know, this it's written by this one lady. His name is Ellen White. That's a great book. I'm going to get one for you, okay? And she's like, okay, I'd love to. And then Bonnie gave me the book. And then I think Thursday, I went to her office. And then we got to talk and chat. And then we got to talk about the Bible. And then she mentioned again about, yeah, my feeling is that now there's a war in our mind. There's a war behind all of this. I feel like there's something that will change in our country. And then I was like, you know what? This is the book that I promised you. And she saw the title and she's like, thank you very much, Zico, because this is the right time. Last night, I just finished my book and I was wondering, I need a new book to read. So thank you for this book. I will read it for sure. So friends, you know, like the people in the old times, because the Bible is written for our lesson, right? Not for your lesson. It's not for us to say, you know what, Bonnie, because the Bible says this, you're supposed to do this. You know what, Stephen, because no, it's for us to remind ourselves, not to remind other people, to remind ourselves. So when we see these people move from place to place to place to place because God told them to, ask God, where do you want us to go? Where do you want me to go? And do not worry. There's one quote that I like from the same author, Ellen White. She said, if you remember what God did for us in the past, we don't have to worry about the future. So if God sent us somewhere and God points us, go to the laundromat and give a book to someone. Don't be, I'm scared. I don't know what to do. Just give and pray that the Holy Spirit can work from this book. If God asks you to go to your neighbor to talk, don't think about, okay, what should I talk about? No, just talk. Just go and pray. Last Tuesday, I went to a meeting up here in Crestline. And some lady just came to me. Well, I always pray the same prayer every morning. Lord, send me to someone who needs me. Send me to someone who wants to know about Jesus. So when we were having our meeting, one lady asked, Zico, you're a pastor, right? Yes. What can I help you for? You know, let's go to this lady. He needs prayer because his right arm is sick and the left arm can't move because of something. So then I was like, huh. So I went to her and we prayed. And then I asked some other ladies also to pray. And then it turns out, and then afterwards, we have 4 people praying for that lady. So friends, you know, even that small things, if you pray, God will lead you. And like I said before, no matter what position we are in our life right now, maybe we're still like the Israel, we're on almost to get somewhere. Or maybe we're in the middle of something. Or maybe we're still having difficulties in our journey. If we believe in God, like really believe, like Elsa believed in me, really, really believe. It's easy to say, yes, I believe. Oh, I believe in Jesus. But can we really believe? Do we really have that faith to move, to go to our neighbor, or just believe that everything will be okay? Believe that everything will be okay. Then we won't need to be worried about anything. I like to share one tip to help us believe in God. So, if you see, this is all my prayer requests. I wrote the date, and I wrote the date when God answered me. I keep it in my wallet. So if I have, you know, I always pray about this every morning, but, you know, in case I'm somewhere, I pray. So this is the date. This is the date when God answered. The one that's still empty, this is where God still hasn't answered. One thing that God still hasn't answered me, I wrote this on 7th of March, help me to stop eating too much. But this will help you to believe in God. Because I wrote down yesterday, from all these prayer requests, the one that God says yes and God answered, 24 prayer answered, and no, sorry, prayer answered is 15. God answered yes is 15, and God answers no, only 5. So when I'm discouraged, when I'm down, if I'm worried about anything, I'll look at this. Oh yeah, I remember. God answered when I need this. God answered when I need this. God answered when I'm praying about this thing. God answered when I'm praying. So this will remind us not to worry because God answers. This is a little tip for you guys. And I remember I put, I think for me, one of the silliest prayer requests. My computer, my laptop broke down a couple of months ago. I think this is 11th of January. And then I wrote down, God, I want the best MacBook ever. The latest version. So I prayed that prayer. When I prayed, and then God answered me on the 17th of January, really clear. You're a pastor. You don't need a fancy MacBook. You just need it for PowerPoint and Word, right? You don't design graphics or calculate or compute anything complicated. You just need PowerPoint and Microsoft Word. That's it, and internet. And I was like, okay, thank you, God. So I wrote down, God answer it. So sometimes the answer is probably not what we want, but then he'll make us realize, oh, okay, that's the right one. Of course, I don't need a fancy MacBook. And then suddenly, my laptop's fine. Yeah. So, friends, no matter what journey in our life, as long as we believe, truly, 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 truly believe, and remember what God has done for us in the past. Like really, 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 really remember. And that will give us strength. And when we have that strength, like I have that strength, you know, we can use it to encourage others. I use this to encourage others. You know, friends, you know, you can write this down so you'll remember. Use it to encourage others because God bless us to bless others. So as a closing verse, I'd like us to open Psalm 121. Psalm 121. So in the journey of our life, one thing that I'll also ask all of us is, have a Bible verse to give us strength. Bible verse to give us strength. So whenever we're worried and when we see our prayer requests are answered and then we remember the Bible verses, we will be more courageous. Maybe I mean the psychiatrist or the psychology way is positive thinking, right? Always think positive. But if you remember a Bible verse, it's way better than just positive thinking. Psalm 121, verse 7 to 8. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve you going out and coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So friends, believe like the people of old believe. Believe like our forefathers believe. Believe like our friends believe. Believe like the prophets believe. And trust God, so wherever you go, you won't be discouraged. Let us bow our head and pray. Dear Lord in heaven, some of us here, Lord, maybe in the beginning of the journey in our life. Some of us maybe in the beginning, in the middle of our journey in our life. Some of us maybe at the almost end of our journey in our life, Lord. But Lord, like the Israelites, we believe that we are in the place that we are right now because you ask us to. So help us, Lord, to be able to finish this journey. Help us to believe in you. Help us to remember what you've done for us in the past. But Lord, if we are here not because of you, if we are here because of our own selfish ways, help us to correct our path. Help us to get a vision, to get a direction from you, Lord, so that you can correct us to go to the right way. Help us also, Lord, so that we can help people that need you. Help us to remind people to go back to your ways, Lord. Please send us your Holy Spirit, Lord, so wherever we go, the Spirit will guide us and bless us so that we won't feel anything, Lord. We will feel that your Spirit, your hand is the one that's leading us. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray, and in Jesus' name we believe. Amen.